tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans. Welcome to another edition of the After Show for AfterBuzz TV. How are you guys feeling after these two episodes?
So much better.
I know. Isn't it wonderful? Yes. This is the first time in weeks I've had fun, like legitimately had fun with this series.
Yes.
Anyway, before we get into that, joining me on the panel tonight is Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Liz Rishmawi.
Hey, everybody.
And Tari Miller.
Ta-ta-kai.
I have no idea what that means, but
bye-bye.
I'm enthused. I'm your host, Megan Salinas, and we are going to be talking about episode 19 and 20, the Le Groux. I'll be honest, I don't know how to pronounce that. The
LeGru corridor?
And I'm just going to keep calling it
Moria.
Exactly, yeah. And the General of the Blazing Flame. So, yeah, just generally, how do you guys feel after these two episodes? Because personally, I was pumped after watching these two. I was so happy, and I haven't felt that way since the fight with Heathcliff, basically.
Yeah, I'm thrilled, and I'm preparing to be disappointed. Yeah. Because I know it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, I mean, sorry, it's gotten kind of better, but
better than this.
I really liked it. I felt like, you know, like you said, it's like we got to see some, like, action. We got to feel like we're in a real video game again, and now we had a magic aspect behind it. It was really fun, and there was, like, a lot of banter between the characters, and it was just, like, it was, I really, really enjoyed these two episodes, like, very much.
Yeah. It was great, especially because, like, I almost spoiled something.
Yeah. Don't you dare!
But these are really fun. I had missed, like, kind of carefree Kirito.
Yeah. Yeah, because he hasn't been that way since the very first episode of Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't a game after that.
Yeah.
But now he can murder people with reckless abandon, and it's okay!
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you guys. This is the most fun I've had, and fun is the word I keep going back to because I don't know
because
about you guys.
We don't have a thesaurus.
Exactly,
and it's a really good adjective.
I just think of the Spanish word "hace muy divertido," which is my Spanish one.
I love how white that came out.
I know. I'm terrible. I'm a terrible Hispanic person. Anyway, so let's go ahead. There's a lot to talk about in these episodes because as fun as it was and as great as the action were, there was also a lot of exposition, and we find out a lot about the world and about the politics that are going on in this world.
Yes. And always politics behind all these videos. And it's good because it would be very empty without them. You have to have some sort of, like, juicy storyline to, like, really bite into in order for there to be these protagonists and stuff like that.
Exactly. The one thing I will say before we get into the episodes is I do have a hard time getting invested in these particular politics because unlike the politics of Sword Art Online, it's not life and death. On the other hand, we do need them because ultimately we'll need all the races to come together to make a run at the World Tree to save Asuna. Mm-hmm. So that's where my investment should be. But when it comes to, oh no, these two races are going to be at war, I really don't care because at the end of the day, they're just playing a game.
Right. Yeah.
I'm on the opposite side of that because I've played games and run games where those politics mean a lot. And when it's something where you come home from work or come home from school and this is what you do to unwind, you really want to keep tabs on that sort of thing, and it really matters to you what happens in the world and to the characters.
I understand.
And so that's something I can really understand.
I understand, but comparatively, compared to this is fun and games, compared to it was a matter of life or death, I have a personally, I have a harder time getting
you're not a community gamer.
Yeah. You're right. I'm really not. Anyway, I will play by myself. I play games by my lonesome. Anyway, so let's go ahead and get into the episode now that we've done a lot of talking about it. Let's go ahead and talk about it. So basically, episode 19 starts off with them in the mines of Moria. And basically, Leafa is training Kirito to enhance his magical skill because it's something he hasn't had to deal with in the past. He hasn't had to learn another language in order to play a game properly. And so
that was really interesting, too, that it wasn't just speaking the words. Even if you get them down, you have to, like, know, like, not even memorizing the actual words you have to say for a spell, but you have to know what that word means in order for it to work.
Exactly.
Right. So that was a really cool concept that I thought was, you know.
And I kind of like that, too.
Oh, go things ahead. He could have wiki. Seriously. But that would have saved him so much trouble.
But I like that it kind of, the game has its own magical lore.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of times magic in these type of fairy tale stories, it does have a lot of power. Words have power.
Yeah.
So I like that. And I like that was a nice little, it was just a tidbit, but it was something fun. But they get this kind of very cryptic message from Rekkon. It's very short. It's, I was right. Be careful. S. And so again, that's very cryptic, but it doesn't take Leafa long to figure out that they're being tracked and that, you know, she's able to piece it together. And when she finally sees what's tracking them, it's this little bat, she's able to piece together that, oh no, this is the salamanders. Even if we destroy this trace,
they're right on our tail.
Yeah, they're right behind us. They know exactly where we are. And
we gotta run.
Yeah, the wall wouldn't have done anything if it had a tracker knowing that they're behind that wall.
Exactly.
Right.
So they take off running, but the salamander troops are way too close behind them, and they manage to set up a barrier right on this bridge, and they can't escape.
And they can't go swimming because there's freaking kaiju in the wall.
Exactly. They're these really high-level monsters. It's basically, if you jump in, it's basically suicide.
Yeah. I was just laughing, though, because in my head, like, I just heard, like, Wreck-It Ralph, I'm going to wreck it! Slams down.
Only
falls,
he, like, bounces off and it's like, boing.
Yeah,
like,
basically.
Good job. Not everything can be solved by sticking a sword into it.
A for effort, though. He's in a hurry. And actually, I really like this next scene where we have the salamander troops and fighting Leafa and Kirito, because this actually did feel very much like a video game scenario.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, the mages backing up the troops who are attacking and everything
with
like
shield.
That.
Shield.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I also think it was very funny, too, because at the beginning of the episode, what we forgot to kind of mention is she's blatantly making fun of how pathetic the spells are and how useless they are in battle.
Your lame friggin' magic might come in handy at some point.
You've got illusion magic, and any ninja worth their salt will tell you that illusion magic is really, really good if you can use it properly.
I almost feel like at this point, though, I mean, we haven't met, like, all of the different types of fairies in this game yet, which we will encounter, and I'm really excited about that. But, like, I almost feel like a lot of these people maybe haven't had a lot of interaction with a lot of spriggin' fairies, because what we see later as the episode develops is those are some really awesome spells. And I wonder if we'll find out later if all spriggins are capable of doing that, or if it was just something based on Kirito's stats from Sword Art Online.
Because he's
a
cheater.
Yeah.
I honestly think
that
came about because he's cheating. But hey,
and shonen protagonist. And we'll get to it in a minute, but this episode in particular was really good with the musical cues being taken from Einkrad with what comes up with that. It was just awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to geek out over this episode because it was a lot of fun. But going back to what you said, in terms of, like, they haven't seen a whole lot of spriggins, most people probably stick to their own elf territories, because if you go outside of your elf territory, you're liable to get, you know, murdered and everything.
And
like
for
that.
All we know, I mean, I know that there was a map pulled out at one point in the later episode after this about where the territories are, but we don't know where the Spriggan territory is, if it's even close by to where the Leafs, is that what they...
The sylphs.
Something with an F. But we don't know how close by they are, so we don't know when we'll get to meet other spriggins. But again, it's just something that was very interesting to me about, like, I'm like, I thought your magic was supposed to suck. So, you know.
Or at least supposed to be used for underhanded purposes.
Yeah, or not anything to do with the actual, like, improving in your battle. They kept specifying in several episodes, spriggin magic does not help in battle.
Yeah, but...
So say the non-spriggins.
Right.
Exactly. Although we see in this episode and the following episode that it actually does come in quite handy. But anyway, to get back to this one, what follows is a really magnificent fight where we have Leafa using magic to heal Kirito as he goes in headfirst, as he is wont to do. But then Yui kind of says, use your magic to defend him against this attack, and he can use his magic for an illusion spell. Mm-hmm. And Leaf is very hesitant because it's like,
what the heck's that gonna do?
I don't think that's gonna do anything, but okay. And so we see, and again, if you listen to the music, it's a very familiar tune from a very particular episode of a certain boss fight, and it's just awesome. And so Kirito casts this spell, and all of a sudden what emerges is something that looks a lot like the Gleam Eyes from Aincrad.
He almost kind of reminded me of, what the heck are those dog god things in, like, Egyptian lore?
Like Anubis?
Oh, yeah. Anubis. Like, he almost looked like an Anubis, and I was like, what? Very much. Like, so, an Anubis had made a baby with a werewolf or something like
they
that.
They still had
like
the ram horns and the snake
tail.
And we do know that Alfheim Online pretty much copied everything from SAO wholesale and dumped it in. So what's to say that they didn't go, well, we're not going to reuse that as a boss fight, but we will use that as a monster change option.
And
then you don't have to make a new model. You don't have to re-rig it. Nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, presents a lot of questions. He turns into this monster and starts mowing through these guys. Even though they're saying it's just an illusion,
it
he shouldn't
can't
be
help
able
you.
To. Yeah,
it can't hurt you.
It can't hurt you if you stay in formation.
And we
the
see that that
formation
not the
gets murdered.
Right. Yeah.
It's not an illusion. He seems to actually be a monster.
Yeah, he claws them. He's chomping on them.
Yeah, he bites one of them. It's like, it's awesome.
And
wow,
to the point where the last man standing jumps off the bridge and into the water with a kaiju.
Commit suicide.
Like,
nope.
And
out.
There's only one guy left, and Kirito's getting ready to squish him, too, in a pretty brutal way. He's, like, squishing his head.
He's about to pop his head off. It's very Evangelion.
Yes! Oh, my gosh.
It's
extremely
Evangelion.
And Leafa jumps in, and she's like, don't kill him, because he's the only one who can provide us information as to why they were after us in the first place. Mm-hmm. So they sit down, and they start interrogating him. And at first, he's very resistant, but then Kirito changes back, and he's like, let me handle this. I'm going to change up tactics.
Wasn't that awesome? What a great fight. Look at all the loot I have. It could be yours for the low price of any answers you can provide.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And I love that Kirito
is laughing.
And I love that, like, this is the first time we've gotten to see, in a long time, that we've gotten to see Kirito, like, bro out with somebody over a game.
Yeah.
Like, probably for the first time since Klein, I would guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was more like Klein wanting a date with him, and he's kind of, like, fighting him, so... This is just more of the, you know, they're like, ha, 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 and then she's just, like, looking, I don't
Boys,
know why they laugh like Mandark, but, ha, 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 ha. Sorry.
That was great. But, yeah, they were basically, like, boys. Ugh, poor Yui and Leafa. They have to, all the things they have to put up with.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I do that, too. Laugh about getting stuff.
Anyway. But, so, anyway, they get information out of this guy, and they find out that he got a text message basically saying that they were summoned to the
text
mines
message.
To specifically, yeah. Yeah, he said text message.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Never mind. Continue.
Yeah, it wasn't an IM or an in-game message. It was a straight-up text saying that there were two players that they needed to take out in this mine. They didn't know why.
Yeah, he's a
grunt. But it was just, it was something that was integral because these people were in danger of ruining the plan. Mm-hmm. Whatever
capital
that means.
Capital T, like, capital P, the plan.
So
oh, I thought,
like,
you were talking about toilet paper.
Yeah, I realized that when I was about halfway through.
Which is why
I reiterated.
They
the
were gonna
plan.
The plan to TP somebody's house in IRL. Yeah, that's great. But so that leaves them with a lot of questions. It's like, well, what? Like, that's really cryptic. What's going on here? And they learned that it was basically Kagamune's. I think that's how you pronounce his name, but he was the guy that was left over from when they from the fight when they first met, and that again because of that, it's really suspicious. It's like, okay, well, these two people who they took out like two salamanders, big deal. Why is it so important to take them out? And so they're asking themselves these questions as they go to the next town, and as they go to the next town, they're talking about it, and Kirito basically says that his mind went blank in the middle of the fight. It just happens sometimes. And that's,
I totally go on murder sprees. You don't?
And that's kind
just
of
the way
scary.
It tasted like smoked meat.
All crispy
and everything like that. Crispy and awesome.
And I know he's trying to be cute and trying to be funny, but it was kind of creepy.
He talked about murdering a guy and then bit her hand, and he can't figure out why Leafa's not happy with him.
Still has the social skills of a 15-year-old shut-in.
Well, to be honest, I thought it was very interesting because as much as I don't think we've necessarily really seen this side of Kirito. Like, we've seen him, he was kind of a hard ass in the beginning of the series, and then he started slowly trying to loosen up with the guild that he joined. Then they all died, then he's all serious, and then he's like this awkward person with Asuna, and then they develop a relationship and it's like loving and stuff, but he wasn't like this goofy, jokey, like he still,
yeah.
I don't think we've really seen this.
It kind
yet.
Of was like when he was crying over the sandwich and like all the
a little bit, but not as
we,
much.
We
like this was a blatant episode
right.
where it was just like goofing around with this guy, making jokes about how players taste in his mouth, and then
right.
like going to bite her fingers. Like very, it was still a little out of character for me, but I enjoyed it because it's like him. I think he's just re-finding joy in a game because it is like, okay, I just killed all these people, but they're not dead.
Exactly.
And he's beginning to remember why he loves video games in general, because it's a game.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's great. Although it does concern me that he can turn into a monster.
And then not remember it.
When nobody else seems to be able to do that. Or if they are able to do that, it's something that these characters haven't seen before.
Right.
Although I agree with you. It's kind of endearing to see this side of Kirito when we've seen him be closed off to everybody. And it's nice to see him open up and even have a little fun.
And opening up mm-hmm. to more people. Because even then when we saw signs that maybe this existed before, it was only after he had known people for a certain amount of time. He just met that dude that was just attacking him, and he's only known Leafa for a couple of days.
Well,
so.
And even something we skipped over, but something he said in the middle of the fight, because Leafa was like, look, we're outnumbered. We're not going to win. You know, we'll get killed, but, you know, it'll only take us a few hours to recoup, you know, where we were. And he's like, no, I'm never going to let another party member die ever again. So
yeah.
he still takes this deathly seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the stakes, you know, at least for other people aren't high.
Right.
They're high for him because obviously he's trying to find Asuna.
And
but,
he's still traumatized.
Yeah.
This is not something that's going to go away.
Oh, yeah. This is PTSD to like the max. I mean, Jesus.
So it's nice to see somebody who's still as deeply affected by his experience, having fun.
Mm-hmm. Though that is kind of, like, his, like, deeply affectedness is kind of negated by the fact that he willy-nilly kills people.
Kills people willy-nilly?
Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
Words.
Willy-nilly.
I don't have those.
Well, it's one of those things where if Leafa were to die, it would affect him, but he knows that there aren't as many consequences by killing other people in self-defense
yeah.
right.
as they would
yeah.
have been in Aincrad. Anyway, so as fun as that was, they're reminded that, oh, yeah, Rekkon sent me a message. We should probably check in on that. And so Leafa logs out.
Because he's not online.
Because mm-hmm. he's not online. And so she checks her phone, and there are just all these messages from
Rekkon,
yeah. I keep wanting to call him Rekkon.
Out of character name we can't remember.
Mm. Nobuyuki?
Yeah, it was like Nobuyuki or something like that.
Something like that.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going to call him Rekkon. Anyway, so she gets a message from Rekkon and calls him up, and that's when we find out that he's currently incapacitated in the game and will be for a little while longer because he was following Sigurd, their, you know, Leafa's former party member.
I know I said you could leave, but you can't leave.
Because we find out that when they first met and Rekkon and Leafa were flying away from the salamander troops, that Sigurd had also done the same. He was like, I'll draw them away, which is really out of character for him. And it turns out that he's working with the salamanders. Rekkon followed him and found out that he was communicating with these guys and that basically they're concocting a plan to disrupt Leafa manages to, or Sugu manages to piece this together, is that they're planning on disrupting a peace treaty between two races of elves, the Sylphs and they called them Catsies. I think they're Kate Sith?
Kate Sith.
Okay, they call them Catsies. Which is really cute. I like that name.
Catsies. I would play the game as a Catsie.
They're adorable.
Cat ears and Wolverine claws. Sign me up.
They're so cute. They're adorable.
If I were dumb enough to go back into this game after Sword Art Online, that is.
Well, which one did you pick? I don't remember last week. Somebody asked which game we would pick if we were stuck.
I said no. I said I wasn't going to play.
The non-option.
There you go. Option C. Anyway, so basically, she logs back into the game, lets Kirito know. So they're on their way, but she admits to him, she's like, hey, this actually might be good for you if you were to join up with the Salamanders, because if they're successful in their plan, they'll have all the resources to make a run at the World Tree. So if you wanted to kill me and join them, I wouldn't hold it against you. And that's when Kirito says, no, some people think that, you know, what you do in a game, it doesn't actually affect who you are. I know better than that. Someone very important to me taught me that the choices you make in the online world change who you are on the outside.
And the player and the character are one and the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to hurt a friend for personal gain. And so that was a very endearing moment, and we see how far he's come from being somebody only looking out for himself to be someone who is, you know, willing to put his own life on the line to help friends.
Yeah.
So that's good. Even though his life isn't at stake. I don't know why I keep thinking that. Anyway, so then all of a sudden he decides that they're wasting time and grabs her by the wrist, and they do a sonic run out of the cave, which was, I was expecting to hear the Green Hills theme zone as they run out towards the exit of the cave. And that's where this particular episode ends. So before we jump into the next one, we should probably talk about iTunes real quick. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you like what we do, if you like hearing us talk about Sword Art Online or other after shows, please go to iTunes, rate us, leave a comment. I actually, have you guys read the comments on iTunes? They have nothing but really nice things to say about us.
We love really you awesome. Too.
It's really sweet. And we read all of the YouTube comments as well. And even though sometimes we're like, really, guys, I know you were just waiting for us to get to that episode. Really? Like,
they're like, oh, it's going to get better, but then it'll get worse. But then it'll get better. then this happens.
We really like hearing what you guys have to say about the show that we're watching and about how we go about presenting the show. So if you guys have any comments on how we can make the show better for you, or you just wanted to say hi, or just say that, like, hey, I really liked this episode, please leave a comment and let us know what you think. So thank you guys so much for those of you who have been actively commenting on every single episode. You guys are awesome.
Yay. I'm particularly fond of the person who bleeped out their spoilers with asterisks.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
You're hilarious. Don't you dare spoil us, but you're hilarious.
And it's because of your comments and everything, and like letting us know that this is a show that you like. We're getting all these great guests in.
Exactly.
And can we name drop who's coming next week?
Yeah, we can probably say. We have Cassandra Morris coming in next week. She does the voice of Leafa. So it'll be really great getting her in the studio, especially for the next two episodes, from what I hear. I don't know what's happening, but from what I hear. Anyway.
Tari's over there grinning. Tari knows.
Tari knows what's up.
Tari knows. Yeah.
But anyway, so, and yeah, it lets our bosses know that we're doing a good job and that you like hearing about these types of shows. So, moving on. Let's go ahead and get to episode 20, General of the Blazing Flame.
Dun-dun-dun.
Basically, we go from fight scene 1 to fight scene 2.
Yay! Which is awesome!
Oh, my
so
gosh!
Good.
This was amazing. This is the most fun I've had in this series for a long time.
Because it's awesome.
It's really awesome.
So good.
So we have Kirito, you know, we pick up right where the other one left off. They run out of the cave, Sonic style, to the point where they run outside and have to fly because it was a cliff.
Oops.
And so they're flying through the air, and even though Leafa's really annoyed, they only have an ETA of about 20 minutes to get to where the peace treaty is being signed by Alicia Rue and Lady Sakuya? I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Sakuya.
Yeah, Lady Sakuya, who are the leaders of their respective races.
Your Japanese pronunciation is so much better than the Spanish. You're really, really good at the Japanese pronunciation, so that's why I was just laughing before about the whole thing.
Do we have a sound effect for that level of burn?
Oh.
Do we?
Help me out, Buka.
Burn.
It's okay. We don't need a sound effect for how badly I was burned.
I would love a sound of it, like a siren or something.
We don't need
a burn.
We don't need a sound effect for how white I pronounce my Spanish. That is not something we need to emphasize in this show. Anyway, so basically they have ETA of 20 minutes to get there, and it's very clear that they're probably not going to make it on time. So Leafa is like, look, if you want to back out now, again, I understand. We gave it our best shot. And Kirito,
gold star, we tried.
Kirito being Kirito is like, I'm not the type to run away from a fight, which hasn't always been the case. And so it's great to see him. Again, it's great to see how far he's come.
Yeah.
And that's when we get the salamanders coming up, and
there's like, this, what, 50 of them?
60.
60.
Yeah.
There is
there
a lot.
Exactly 68 players.
You I didn't even know that your... was you just now. I was like looking around, like, was that a sound effect? What was that? And then I saw him go like this. And I was like, oh my god, that was hard.
Jesus. Okay, so there are
voices this man makes.
To do this
in. That'd be pretty sweet.
Ooh, I want to. I dare you next time to do it all in one type of voice.
And we can do just it get to all
talking
like
about deep Japanese voice,
and then I will.
I can do that.
Actually, we have a guest coming in, so maybe that's not the best.
Maybe not a good plan.
Maybe they'll do a voice too. It'll be great. Everyone
they
does a voice.
They already do a voice.
Everyone wins. Anyway, so basically. Basically, we see the salamander troops flying in, and that's when we have Kirito jumping in, completely BSing. It's the biggest bluff he's ever pulled. He's like, I'm the Spriggan ambassador, and guess what? The Spriggans and the Undine, which is another elf race that we haven't seen yet.
How does he know about them if he didn't bother wikiing anything?
The Sylph, it's Sylph territory, and they are the Undine.
They are the Undine?
They are the Undine, yeah. So...
Huh.
They're not called Sylphs.
No, I thought it was the Sylph group and the
Catsies.
And the Catsies, and then the Salamanders, and the Undine is a group we haven't seen yet.
Well, when M-Name guy was beaten the last thing,
he's bluffing for them. We'll get to that, but it's a lie.
Okay.
Anyway, so basically, he basically says that the Spriggan and the Undine have come into an alliance. So basically, if these guys go through with their plan, they're going to be up against four armies instead of just two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of enough of a bluff to make everyone hesitate and go, is he telling the truth? Or is he full of BS? Which he's totally full of BS.
Yeah. And Sakuya and Alicia are looking at
Leafa.
Leafa,
and
like,
she's just
and Leafa's kind of,
I have nothing to do with this. Which
this
is pretty great.
After she dropped the fate of our races depends on the next thing he does. And the next thing he does is lie like a rug.
And they're just like, seriously? And she's like,
just let it happen.
Just let it work his useless Spriggan magic.
And that's when we have General Eugene, who is, as everybody knows in this game, he is the strongest player in Alfheim Online.
Like, it's like 950 or 940 something points just to wield
the type of weapon
shield,
that he has.
Or a weapon,
yeah,
sword.
And 950 points in that specific skill.
Yeah.
Who knows what his other skill levels are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, looking at this guy and realizing, you know, keeping in mind that your real life athletic ability translates to the game, I'm just picturing this really giant guy with nerve gear on, just like hanging out in his room, not doing
anything. No, he's like hanging out, yeah, and he's like laying on his bed, but he's actually lifting barbells like, while he's playing. He's just, you
he's
know.
Just that BA.
Disables awesome. Your motor functions?
Nah. Only for the week. But he's actually the brother of the guy who is the leader of the Salamanders, but even though I think his brother's name is Mortimer?
Something like that.
Yes, Mortimer.
They both have really bad names.
Yeah. Mortimer is the strategist, but Eugene is the powerhouse, and he's the strongest player in the game, and he's the one basically calling Kirito out on his BS. He's like, with the kind of gear you have, there's no way you're an ambassador. That's
and you
ridiculous.
You came here without an escort?
Yeah.
Seriously? Of course I did. I'm Kirito.
Do you know who I am?
Which, I don't think anyone here knows who he is, oddly.
Which is really funny watching this series, because basically it is kind of Kirito going, do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal.
I'm still
you
laughing.
You saw the last of me.
I wonder if there's ever going to be a point in the show where somebody who's actually from Sword Art Online is actually logged into this game.
Well,
like, are you the only idiot that actually decided to go right back into a virtual reality world after the crap you went through in Sword Art Online?
Well, what we were theorizing about what we think would be, you know, not to jump too far ahead to, like, because I know we don't really do theories for this one, mm-hmm. because most people have seen through the series all the way.
And the commenters laugh at us.
Yeah, exactly. But something we were theorizing as we were watching it, Katie and I, was what, it, you know, obviously Sugo has these 300 people that he trapped from Sword Art Online that he's been tinkering with their heads. I thought it would be really interesting if, like, some of those people were out in the game kind of doing his bidding.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that's,
oh, that's true.
Something. But to me, that would be really fascinating because that would give him eyes and ears, you know, all over the place, even though he probably already has eyes and ears all over
the
place.
But the last time we did a theory like that, it was a lot more, we gave the series too much credit. Because the last time we had a theory like that, we had Heathcliff at the head of Laughing Coffin and the Knights of the Blood Oath. And that would have been amazing, but it's obviously not where it went.
Yeah.
So it's an intriguing theory,
but it's weird.
But I don't think it's a thing because we've got 6 episodes left in the season, and that's not enough time to bring in that sort of sleeper element and then actually play it out.
I'm just saying it would be cool.
All the other chess pieces in play. Oh, it would be awesome.
Although it seems sad that they would
have
mentioned it, though, like that he had the ability to change the way people think in their minds, and there are
to basically
those other
control them to brainwash
there.
Them. Yeah.
So for all we know, it could be could be part of the people on Salamanders. So.
I don't think they laid the framework for it. Though.
It seems like a really big Chekhov's gun to just leave kind of laying there. But but at the same time, this is also a guy who's just messing with Asuna's head. And
I think it's only going to happen to her if he's screwing with Mars,
which is infuriating. Anyway, to get back to the battle,
and the commenters are just typing away furiously.
Spoiler-free, people.
Yeah.
No spoilers, please. But anyway, basically, as the strongest guy in Alfheim Online, not Sword Art Online.
In this game.
Sword Art Online 2.0.
He
basically has this sword. It's like this demon sword, and it has this special ability, but we don't know that quite yet. And he basically challenges Kirito. He's like, if you can last 30 seconds against me, maybe we'll talk this out.
Yeah.
And so the two of them begin to fight, and that's when we see the ethereal shift, which is this demon sword's special ability where if you try to block it,
it phases through.
Right through and hit you in the face.
Yeah.
Cheater
slightly
sword.
Slightly broken sword.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to think that the only thing you can do to defend yourself against this sword is dodge.
Yeah.
You cannot block. And so that makes... Yeah. I know what you're referencing. I know what you're referencing, Tari Miller. This is not the Dragon Ball Z panel. He's referencing Dragon Ball Z Abridged.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what follows is this really spectacularly animated fight, and it's just gorgeous to look at as these two veteran players in their own rights just, you know, flying through the air, sword fighting and everything like that, and every time Kirito tries to block, it goes right through and hits him. And it's just awesome to watch.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is the most fun I've had watching this series in a long time.
Yeah.
And so it's...
And then he does...
I think your 30 seconds are up.
Yeah,
30 seconds are
gonna
kill you.
It's just like, nice try.
I changed my mind.
And so Kirito, as they fight, he basically throws a smoke bomb.
It's a spell, I think.
Yeah.
You Spriggans are ninjas.
Yeah.
They just are.
And that's when we see down on the ground Leafa, and we hear Kirito's voice, and he's like, I'm borrowing this.
Okay, can I just say about this scene? I was like, I knew it was her sword. Like, logically, what else would you be taking from her? But it's like, was she hiding it up her butt? like because the little thing, it flips up, and then she's touching her, like, thigh/butt. And I forgot to mention something I like, because I think it might have been the episode before, but she said ass hat to one of the guys.
Yeah, it was in the last episode.
So happy, because they were, like, saying, like, you're an ass hat. I'm like, good words.
Anyway, everyone.
But that whole scene was just, like, really funny, and again, there was definitely fan service in this episode. We'll get to the other ones later.
Yeah.
But just the whole, like, flip up the skirt. I'm like, where was that thing? Anyway.
It was at her side.
And
but
her space.
Yeah. Again, I don't appreciate the fan service in this series at all.
No.
And we've talked about that ad nauseum. But again.
Never watch High School of the Dead.
No. We know.
Which is such a shame. I love zombie movies. Anyway. And I love The Walking Dead, too. You think, I wish I could watch something without having that thrown in my face.
Yeah.
Anyway, to get back to the fight, we see Kirito. Oh, yeah. And to kind of get back at Eugene, because the very beginning of the fight, he shined the light of the sun off of his sword and into Kirito's eyes.
To blinding him.
To sort of take that and kind of turn it around on him. Kirito comes flying down from the sky with the sun right behind him. And we see that, you know, and the... Eugene tries to slice at him, and it goes through his first sword, and that's when he pulls out Leafa's katana.
Yeah.
And it, because he was able to make it phase through the first one, it, you know, blocked. The second one is blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And we see his cheater dual-wielding skill come into play.
He's so happy. No, yes, seriously.
That
it needed to happen.
Carry over, though. No. It showed up as a bunch of question marks in his skill set.
Maybe right. It's something that he just had to unlock, because the question marks were still there. Question marks in the thing. It's like when you have an item, but you haven't unlocked it yet, but you have it, and it's there. Maybe it was just some sort
maybe
of trigger.
Maybe all he needed was two swords.
Yeah,
he
really.
didn't have two swords last episode, and this is what I'm
that's true.
About.
He's just cheating all
was,
over the place.
It was so
breaking
awesome.
All the rules.
It was so awesome,
though. But he has to be broken to beat the 6-day time limit.
Yeah.
Right.
They have to give him all the advantages.
But this was probably the first moment in this entire series where I threw up my hands and went, yes!
Yeah.
Because it was just so gratifying yeah. to see. And he proceeds, it doesn't take long after that, he proceeds to use his dual wielding skill to just murder Eugene. And it's so great to see the, you know, the strongest player in the game just get
his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
completely
for everybody else to just be like, what? Well, that
you
just happened.
That?
I regret not making popcorn. Does anyone have popcorn in their inventory? They don't want to share.
And it's just spectacular. And so the fight ends, and Kirito has now established, he's like, I'm the alpha dog now.
What up?
Basically. And
don't mess with the Spriggans.
Pretty much. And so they wait for Eugene to sort of get revived.
They bring him back to life.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
Sakuya straight up just revives his fire. He's like, hey, dude, what's up?
And so that's when they start talking, because clearly Kirito has put this guy in his place, and it's like, well, are you guys willing to retreat now? And Eugene's kind of hesitant, and that's when we have Kagemune, who was the surviving member of Kirito's first fight in Alfheim mm-hmm. Online. And that's when he comes up and basically lies for them. He straight up lies, and that's why Leafa was surprised. Mm. He said, you know, this was the guy that took out our guys, and he was traveling with an Undine, which is why Leafa looked so surprised. She was like,
what?
Yeah, because that confused me as well. Because I was like, but she's a sylph. I don't get that.
Reckon.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think that Kagemune just didn't want to die again?
I don't know if he was backing them up because he's like, this is somebody not to be messed with, or if he was doing it because it's, you know, like, run away, live to fight another day.
Yeah.
Right.
I it's hard to say, but
or it could
yeah.
be playing into something totally different where he happens to be a character that's also a traitor from the Salamanders. We don't know yet.
Yeah. We don't quite know. But basically, he backs up their story, and that gets Eugene to be like, okay, we're going to retreat for now, but, you know, this
isn't
over.
I'll get you later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll get you next time, Gadget. I like that everyone at this table knew what I was going for. It makes me happy. We're all nerds together. Anyway.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That is literally why we're here.
I really like talking nerd to you guys. It's really fun every week. Anyway. So basically, the Salamanders retreat, and there's one more loose end to tie up. And Sakuya has Rue open up a dark mirror, and we have Sigurd sitting in, I don't know if it's his office or Sakuya's office.
Probably his.
But he's just got this little thing of wine, and he's just super happy.
Everything's going down, so my plan is working.
And that's when, of course, Sakuya pops up, and she's like, look, we know about your plan, that you were planning on working with Mortimer to sell us out and everything like that so that you could be reincarnated with the new upgrade that's coming up into the game, because they have a new reincarnation system coming up. So
basically,
I guess
it's a race swap.
Yeah.
If you die, you could be reincarnated as a different race if you decide that you don't like what you're playing as.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So he'd want to be a salamander because the salamanders seem to be the top dogs, and he's not happy that the sylphs aren't.
Yeah, he right. wants more power. He's very, they mentioned repeatedly that he is very much into power. He is obsessed with power. He wants more power.
Exactly. And you have to love, like, the picture of him, like, sitting on that chair with yeah. the girls around
oh, yeah.
him.
And people bringing him swords and riches. It's just like, ugh.
Eugene reminded me of Ganondorf. Or Ganon.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit with the red hair and everything and like the, that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. Just need a grayer skin.
We need to discuss Legend of Zelda every single episode.
We do. We do.
It's necessary.
Quota met.
Yes. Check. That's one thing off the checklist. Anyway, so basically that was the plan. And so Sakuya is like, I'm going to go ahead and grant your wish. You are no longer obligated to be with the Sylphs. You're going to go and roam the neutral territory as a renegade. Mm-hmm. So have fun with that. And before he can finish his horrible insult, he disappears and
you
is transported to the neutral territory, which was great. It was nice to see this character get his just desserts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
We're
know if
not done with him. He's in the opening.
I was going to say. Yeah.
We're not done with him.
Well, there's plenty of times where people, I mean, what's her name? He died.
Sachi.
Sachi.
Yeah. No, we know. We know. No.
He's a free agent who hates all
we'll
these
find
people
him later.
Who did things to
him. Yeah, exactly. By having him not get, well, even if he was killed, he would probably have just been revived.
He
by
has
having
the potential to be a spanner in the works.
Yes, so we'll see within the next 6 episodes if that's something that comes back or if that's just kind of something that, okay, this is the resolution to this particular plot line. Because it could go either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really could. But I don't like the idea of having him out there. But he seems to be stripped of his power and resources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, he gets his just desserts, and that's when we get kind of the fan service-y thing, when Kirito admits that he was completely bluffing, and the two, Alicia Rue and Sakuya, are enamored with him, and they want to show him their
How
gratitude.
And then we have the boobs, and then we have crotch shot, and then we have Leafa just,
and then we have everything we've managed to avoid for 2 episodes distilled.
Pretty much. And as annoying as this was, and again, as annoying as those different aspects of the series.
Aspects?
Dude, that's usually my job.
Shame on all of you for making puns. Anyway.
Disagree. I have a dependency. I have to do it.
Damn it. Why did I let you do that? Anyway, so basically, as annoying as all of those are, I think one of the reasons why these 2 episodes are so fun is because we get so little of that. Because all of the enjoyment in previous episodes, when we revert to this, or when we revert to Sugu's feelings towards her brother, and
see it
redevelop. Yeah, you know, his evil plot.
And the creep factor. Can I just say how much I hate that those 2 names are too similar, Sugo and Sugu? It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some sort of meaning to each of them fits the character, but I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, they're pronounced very similar, and it's... And they are the 2, ironically enough, they are the 2 most annoying aspects of this part of the series.
Yeah.
And so I, like, having those 2 things really detracts from a lot of enjoyment of the previous episodes. And because we had none of Sugo this time around, and very little of Sugu's infatuation with Kirito,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the reasons why this was so much fun, is because we don't have to worry about that. We can just sit back and enjoy the ride.
We didn't have to stop in the middle and go, I'm going to go top off my drink.
And remember how
didn't
much...
didn't have to drink for these.
And remember the money that he gave the...
To get back to the plot, they want to go and make a run for the World Tree, but it's going to take too much time. So Kirito basically gives him all the loot, which he's amassed a huge amount of loot from taking out, I guess.
Something.
Yeah, and so they're going to go and stock up on their supplies and then call Leafa and
or
Kirito.
Message.
Yeah, or yeah, call, message, whatever. Whenever they're ready to, when they're all stocked up and ready to make a run for the World Tree.
Mm-hmm. What's killing me is that they straight up said, oh, you have terrible equipment. Oh, your equipment's awful. Here, let me give you my means of upgrading my equipment and I'll just go on with the terrible stuff I have.
He seems to be doing just fine.
Yeah, he did have the Kokiri sword and the Deku Shield.
But
come on.
He beat the most one of the most powerful players in the game. He's got to be okay.
By borrowing someone else's sword, he at least needs to get himself a second
sword.
Well,
that's not to say that he gave all his money.
That's
true. He might be saving more.
That's
we don't know.
True.
He was dumb enough to hand it all over. Let's be real.
He's already gone shopping. He's got what he wants. He has his, like, old-style clothes and his giant sword. He's good.
Yeah.
He doesn't need anything else.
He needs a second sword.
But, but ultimately, you have to think of it as also an investment. If these are people who are going to help get him to the World Tree, he wants to do everything in his power to get them there.
Because there's not going to be that many. For all he knows, he's already taken care of the one person that he would need the dual wielding with. For all he knows, everything else is going to be like just peachy keen. He's got to turn to a monster.
And this is the first time he's admitted that there's somebody at the top of the World Tree waiting for him, or possibly waiting for him, and it's not Oberon the Fairy King. So even though he's not being completely upfront with them, with the love of my life could be up there, he's straight up told them there's somebody who could be there, and I need to get there as soon as possible.
So
that almost wraps up this episode, but cutting back to the World Tree, we get Asuna, and she gets up and types in the code that that she witnessed it 2 episodes ago while looking at the reflection in the mirror. She types in the code, the bars open, and she walks right out. And this, it like, again, I was so into this episode that I'm sitting here yelling, run, Asuna, run! But there are so many different things that are probably in place to keep her captive.
Oh, yeah.
Not just, you know, there's probably some alarm that's gone off somewhere, and Sugo's getting a text message saying, BTW, Asuna, you know, bird is out of cage or something like that.
At the same time, though, we don't know what she will run into, because for all he knows, he has such a huge ego that he could think that no matter what, like that censorship that he put on her vision when she tried to look at the lock was enough to keep her there.
Exactly.
So, you know, he could just, because he's so full of himself, just undermine what somebody else is capable of.
But and she presumably is defenseless. She doesn't have any items, presumably, again, equipped to her.
Yeah.
Which Kirito was lucky enough to have all of his items from SAO, but only one of which actually carried over. It's presumable that any items that she has as a carryover also do her no good. So that's really, it's frightening, but it's one of those things where it's like, we just have to wait and see. But I'm really hoping that she finds a sword and just tears through anybody who tries to get in her way. And I know that's probably not what's going to happen.
I think I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Because like, now that it's getting good, I think I just like might watch ahead.
So you know how it ends.
Yeah, basically. Just, you know.
Yeah, Tari's sitting here just going like, these are interesting comments.
Yeah.
Well, when we got to this part of the episode, you know, it cuts to the World Tree and I'm sitting there going, no. We had such a good episode. She's getting out.
She's free.
Yes.
Go, Asuna, run, be free. And so,
quit sitting there and looking pretty for the camera and get moving.
But it is one of those things where just because she's out, that doesn't necessarily mean she's free.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has yet to be seen. But that basically wraps up this episode. And again, I had so much fun with these two. I can't wait to get into the next one, but I'm also really scared to get into the next one because we had people going, the next 2 episodes are great, and I have no idea what's waiting for us in the next couple episodes.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Probably.
I am like 95% certain. But I'd love to see Asuna going around the tree, freeing any other people who might be in bird cages and staging a barricade-style revolt.
That would be awesome. We're probably not going to get it, but that would
of
be awesome.
Of course not. Great.
Anyway, do you guys have any other feelings you want to share about this episode? Or about these episodes? Because they were great.
Nope.
Well, that basically wraps it up then for this week. For this week's
Tari, do you have feelings?
What? I have feelings, lots of them. None particularly in this regard.
Okay. Absolutely no emotional investment in what's going on. Well, anyway, guys,
he can't afford to. He knows what's coming.
Well, that wraps it up for this week. Tari Miller, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's TauriJay. You can You can also find me on the Legend of Korra panel and the Extant panel on Wednesdays.
Yay.
Liz.
Yay! Oh, me. Okay. Yes, Liz.
Yay!
You. That's me. Okay, go. Hi, guys. You can find me at Lizzie Maui on Twitter and Instagram. That's LizzyMawy. You can also catch me tonight for the season finale of The Musketeers at, I believe, at 8 o'clock. And you can find me on the Quora panel right after this.
Katie. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxe. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on the. I'm so used to saying, I'm also on the Sword Art Online panel. You know that. I'm on the Attack on Titan panel and the Korra panel, both on Sundays, and the Ruby panel on Thursdays. Megan!
Yay! It's my turn. And you can find me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. And I am also on the Attack on Titan panels on Sunday nights, and I'm on the Ruby panel every other Thursday. Thank you guys so, so much for tuning in for the Sword Art Online After Show. We will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.